Good afternoon, everyone. As Cassie said, my presentation is on the new Managing Digital Records guidelines that came out in February of this year. These guidelines are designed to assist records managers and IT professionals to deal with the unique challenges associated with digital record keeping. What I'm going to cover is why we decided to create the guidelines. I'll show you the guidelines themselves and how they work. I'm going to explain each of the five key strategies, and then I'm going to finish with some information about how we intend to manage changes to the guidelines. As we all know, digital records provide us with a huge amount of opportunities, but they also have a number of unique challenges. IT specialists are dogged with pressing and immediate challenges, including dealing with overloaded networks, flooded email systems, and maintaining a variety of different and sometimes quite complex records formats. To complicate matters, there's constant system change and technological obsolescence to worry about. And there may be huge impacts on organisational budgets and business efficiency resulting from the way that they manage these issues. An important concern is that digital records simply will not survive intact for as long as they're needed if particular strategies are not in place to protect their authenticity and accessibility. Many experts agree now that the average life expectancy of a piece of digital information is about 5 to 7 years. Is that sending warning bells off for you? Think about how hard it would be for your organisation to function if you had no digital records over, say, about 5 years old. Would you be able to perform your core functions effectively? Could you meet your legal requirements? How would you go about answering FOI inquiries? And would you be able to protect the rights and interests of your staff or your clients? In all likelihood, you couldn't. And from a risk perspective, your organisation and the New South Wales State Government could be exposed to all manner of litigation. Naturally, the difficulties faced in maintaining accessible and authentic records over time are of great concern to us as the protectors of the state's archival heritage. If the current trends don't change, there will not be a lot of digital archival heritage to protect. We had addressed the problem of technological obsolescence before in our future-proof guidelines, you might remember. But we decided that during a review of those guidelines that we needed an updated approach. We wanted to support the new standard on digital record keeping. We also wanted to engage and assist our IT colleagues, who are, of course, essential partners in the management of digital records. Most of all, we wanted to lay out a plan of action. And that plan would give solid advice to public officers on how to create their digital records in the best ways, how to manage them effectively, how to troubleshoot and deal with existing digital problems, and how to ensure that their digital records that need to be kept long-term or as archives actually survive intact. Now, naturally, we didn't find that a particularly easy task because so many aspects of digital record keeping are dependent on what systems you're using, what software you use, and individual organisational cultures. And obviously, we couldn't cover every possible scenario. So we tried to look more broadly at the essential elements that would be necessary in any organisation to manage digital records well throughout their existence and to come up with some strategies that were applicable to all. Now, the result of our rethink, Managing Digital Records, is available from our future-proof site if you go to the site under the resources section. Alternatively, you can find it if you go to the Government Record Keeping Manual on our main website, and under the guidelines section, it's guideline 22. Now, the HTML version of the guidelines has an introductory page which looks like this, and it leads you first, if you look, there's five strategies at the top. So you can click on each of the five strategies to go to information about those. Or if you look further down, there's two separate parts. The first one of these is the Managing Digital Records Overview, and that's a summary document which explains the content of the guidelines. So if you went to that link, you get a page like this, and basically what we've done is you have a heading with a small amount of text and then a link to more information. So you can use the overview to dip into the guidelines, to extract more information about particular topics that might be of interest to you, rather than having to read the entire document from start to finish. The second document, this is going back to that first page, is the Managing Digital Records Guideline. So you can click on that if you want to read the document in its entirety. And you'll notice at the bottom there, there's also a PDF version available for printing. And that PDF doesn't include the summary document, it just contains the full text of the guideline. As I said, we were looking at identifying some very broad strategies that would be applicable across every public office. And after much research and discussion, we came up with five key strategies. And those strategies really need to be used in combination to ensure that your digital records are managed properly. And these are the five strategies. Make digital record keeping achievable for your organisation. Keep digital records in record keeping systems. Use record keeping metadata for digital record keeping. Effectively manage the migration of your digital records. And target specific record formats that are causing you problems. And I wanted to touch today on each of those strategies, but unfortunately we don't have time to explore them in a lot of detail, so I'm just going to highlight a few key points from each of the strategies so that you know what you want to go back and look at afterwards. The first strategy, make digital record keeping achievable for your organisation, includes a number of practical recommendations, which are mainly proactive measures that you can take at records creation that are going to save you money and time down the track. For example, we suggest you identify a minimum set of file formats that are required in your organisation to meet your business needs and your longevity concerns, and limit records creation to those formats. It's estimated in the business environment now that there's about 4,500 different types of record formats, but you obviously don't want all of those in one organisation. A minimum number of formats means you can simplify management and preservation issues and therefore minimise your costs. We also recommend that open formats are used where possible. An open format is a format based on an open standard, so it's not subject to intellectual property or patent restrictions, and it's supported where possible by multiple software implementations. The advantages of using open formats are that they're not likely to suddenly become inaccessible when vendor arrangements change, and they're easier to migrate. The guidelines include a number of examples of open formats, such as the Open Document format, which is an open XML-based format for Office applications. Another proactive measure which can help to make digital record keeping achievable is to destroy digital records when it's appropriate to do so. And that's a point that we can't emphasise enough. Many people think that because storage space is cheap, there's no need to dispose of digital records. But while storage may be cheap, preservation is not. You will end up wasting huge amounts of time and resources in managing and migrating records that you no longer need. There's an obligation on organisations to destroy some records routinely, like those containing personal or sensitive information, in order to respect the rights of individuals and comply with privacy laws. If you do keep everything, it's also going to cause you problems in terms of increasing time staff spend in trying to locate and retrieve relevant information to do their work. So we really believe that a good disposal program is a must. So there's some examples of the types of recommendations in that first strategy. There's many more recommendations like that. Some of you may be doing some of them already, some may be new to you. But if you implement some or all of them, then it can make the task of digital record keeping more manageable. The second of the strategies is reinforcing a message that you would have heard many times from us before. You need to keep digital records in record keeping systems. For those of you who don't know, a record keeping system is a system that captures, protects, and provides access to records over time. A record keeping system is not just a software application, it's also the associated policy, procedures, people, and business rules to control and support that application. Record keeping systems make records accessible, but they also contain the necessary controls to ensure that access is only for authorised users. Record-keeping systems ensure that the authenticity and the integrity of the records is preserved, so they can function effectively as evidence of your business. Records within record-keeping systems gain the necessary context and safeguards to allow them to survive over long periods of time. Any system used to perform business in your organisation should be a record-keeping system. And that could be a business system with record-keeping functionality. So if you think about a database that's been configured so that certain tables are captured as records, it could be a business system linked with a dedicated records management or information asset management system, like an online transaction system, which is linked so that the online transactions are captured within a record-keeping system. Or it could be a dedicated records management system or information asset management system, such as those from the GSAS contract 2602, which is for information asset management system software application. That is a mouthful. If you want to find out more about the capacities and required form of a record keeping system, then have a look at our standard on digital record keeping, which is on our website. So the strategy explains what a record keeping system is. But importantly, it also explains what what systems are not record-keeping systems. For example, why backup systems or networks do not operate as record-keeping systems and why they don't. If you don't already have record-keeping systems, it describes how you can go about purchasing a records management software application or how you might reconfigure your current application so they can incorporate record-keeping functionality. And there's also a detailed description in the guidelines regarding how to tailor your solution, the solution you choose, to the particular needs of your organisation, and a discussion of the importance of planning for disaster protection and recovery of your systems. The third strategy is all about metadata, how you should use record-keeping metadata as a key business and record-keeping tool. Metadata is simply data about data. So a catalogue record of a book in a library is metadata about that resource. Record keeping is metadata is data that describes the content, context, and structure of records and their management over time. If you have good metadata, it will promote good records management, good information resources, and good business. The application of metadata can contribute to better information accessibility, organisational efficiency, and greater accountability in business operations. It can also help you to manage records better in the long term, so you need to invest time in creating it. Besides selling you the value of metadata, this section of the guidelines goes into quite a lot of detail regarding how you can create good metadata. It discusses how to determine a comprehensive metadata schema to meet your specific business needs. It also outlines a number of key points that are important to remember when developing and implementing metadata schemas. And I'll give you a few examples of those. One of the key points when developing a metadata schema is to develop good encoding schemes or pick lists. Encoding schemes are schemes that provide a control list of all the acceptable values that can be applied within a particular metadata field. An example is if you have an encoding scheme for jurisdictions, then you could have a pick list that has each of the states and the Commonwealth in it, and you can choose whatever is appropriate for the given situation. Encoding schemes can promote standardisation, consistency, and accuracy, and they improve the usability of systems, encourage automation, and in the long term they contribute to system sustainability. One of the key points when implementing metadata from the guidelines is that metadata itself is a key record. So metadata itself needs to be maintained. It needs to be linked with the digital records to which it relates, even as they go through migrations. The final part of this strategy includes an explanation on how you can facilitate preservation using metadata as a tool. The fourth strategy is effectively manage the migration of your digital records. Migration is the process of transferring records from one hardware or software configuration to another, or from one generation of technology to another. State Records recommends migration as a preservation strategy for the New South Wales State Government, and that is stated in our policy on digital records preservation, which is within the Government Record Keeping Manual. Migration can be seen as a necessary preservation process, but if you think about it strategically, it is actually a great opportunity for business enhancement and for improving record keeping in business practice. This section of the guidelines is the most comprehensive advice we have ever given regarding migration strategies. It recognises, importantly, that migration is a risky process. It can threaten the authenticity, integrity, and sometimes the existence of digital records. So it needs to be handled carefully. The guidelines highlight the essential characteristics or features that are critical to a record's meaning, use, or value, and say that these must be preserved. Essential characteristics can include the content, context, structure, appearance, and behaviour of a record. And each organisation needs to determine which of those characteristics are essential for specific records. And they're going to differ according to the record type and the record's business purpose. So there's some recommendations in the guidelines to help you to do that. For example, if you think of a report that contains a map, and the colours in the map are used to signify different agricultural areas. Each of the colours has meaning, and the report couldn't be interpreted accurately without those colours being preserved. In that case, the colour, or the appearance, of the record is an essential characteristic. In another case, colour may not be important. So if you think about a letter that's got a slight background tint that doesn't actually affect the meaning of the letter, then colour is not an important or essential characteristic. Another issue discussed in this strategy is using migration for long-term or archival records. As migration is inherently risky, we recommend that you migrate long-term or archival records to a stable long-term storage format once they are not required for active business. And that format should be widely used, non-proprietary and platform independent. So we discuss in the guidelines some tools that you can use to do that. The guidelines go into some detail about other issues, like planning for a migration, things to be aware of if contractors are performing your migration, pre- and post-migration testing, and making records of the migration process. There's also advice regarding how long to keep source records for. They need to be kept for at least 6 months from the conclusion of successful post-migration testing to allow the migration to be repeated in case some or all of the migrated records don't meet your quality control standards or your business requirements. Now, that's a minimum only. In high-risk scenarios, we would recommend that they be kept for longer periods of time and that you'd actually need to do a risk assessment there. But as a general principle, we would recommend that you err on the side of caution before you go destroying the source records. There's a useful checklist at the end of this strategy as well, which you can use to ensure you've addressed all the relevant issues in planning for and conducting a migration project. We circulated a draft of our guidelines to a number of targeted stakeholders in August of last year, and one of the issues raised was that a number of IT and record-keeping professionals would benefit from some really practical advice in dealing with particular formats that cause problems for a large number of organisations. So we added this fifth strategy as a means to address some of those formats. At the moment, we've got separate discussion papers there regarding managing email, digital photographs, CAD files, and web records. But we're hoping to expand this in time and continue to add formats to it. So they're the five strategies that are covered within the guidelines. I might also point out there's a list of definitions in the back of the guidelines, and there's also an extensive annotated bibliography. If you're interested in aspects of managing digital records, then that might be a good place to go for sources to read more. And we're always interested to know if you come across very good articles that cover this topic. But the digital world is constantly changing. So advice that we're giving you today, you may find is inadequate for the types of challenges that you're going to face tomorrow. As a result, We've taken a slightly different approach regarding updating and changing these guidelines. Instead of having a review date in the future, we consider that the guidelines are in constant review. So if you have suggestions or criticisms on aspects of the guidelines, if you think there are particular formats that are causing you and other organisations problems and we haven't addressed them, or if there's new technologies, challenges and solutions appearing that should be addressed in the guidelines, then we want you to let us know about them. And we'll consider them, and where possible, we'll update the guidelines as soon as possible. Ideally, we'd like you to let us know that feedback through our new blog. And I've given you the address for the Futureproof website there. You just need to go to the discussion at latest posts to be able to add to the blog. The advantages of putting your ideas up on the blog is that all bloggers can have the opportunity to discuss and debate the issues, and that's going to assist us enormously in ensuring that we understand all aspects of the issues raised. So if you haven't seen our blog yet, I would encourage you to go and have it and check it out.